Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today on the broadcast, we'll study the subtle strategy Satan used after he got the prophecy of the Messiah to come to save humankind. This strategy is revealed in Genesis 3, and the results of the implementation of the satanic plan is recorded in Genesis 6. But first, let's look at the very first prophecy of a coming Messiah. Please take your Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
What this verse, chapter 3, verse 15, is talking about, it is the first prophecy of a Messiah to come in the future. And the prophecy is this: a woman will bear a son. He will have you or allow you to bruise his heel, but he's going to burst your head. He's going to bruise your head, wipe you out, throw you into eternal damnation. Now, do you pay attention to that, Satan? You understand? That's where you're going. And Satan said, wow, man, I better go into a strategy session here. Man, I got to do something. They're going to have a Messiah. That Messiah is probably going to come from a pure young lady, a virgin. I got an idea. I can contaminate humankind. I will contaminate their bloodline. Hey, that's great. That's what I'm going to do. Let's see what the word says. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, let me define that phrase, sons of God. It's defined over in the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 7, as an angel. It's defined in Job chapters 1 and 2 as angels. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that's flesh women, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose, given unto marriage. That's what Jesus said, Matthew 24, Luke 17. Skip over here to verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. Satan's malicious contamination was that he would contaminate the bloodline. So a pure virgin woman could not bring forth the Messiah. And so he sent his angels to have sexual relationship with women. How could an angel take on the form of a man? If you've read the book of Genesis, chapter 18, Jesus Christ appears to Abraham in a pre-incarnate appearance, spends time with him. There's a couple of angels with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes back to heaven. Those two angels go over to Sodom. When they walk into Sodom, as they walk into Sodom, out comes Lot and say, hey, you men, come here with me. Come to my house. I want to wash your feet. That's a Middle East tradition. That's what Jesus did, remember? The upper room, the Lord's Supper. He washed the feet of his disciples. You do that. Come here. Come into my home. I'll wash your feet, and my wife will fix us a delicious meal. Those were angels. And the text called them men. Angels in the forms of men. Those were two men who came, went into the house of Lot, had their feet washed, had a meal. And those Sodomites in Sodom came and said, hey, can those two men come out? We want to deal with them sexually. Angels in the forms of men who ate food. You say, wait a minute. You're trying to tell. Don't you remember what Jesus Christ said to the lady who had seven husbands? And one of the disciples said, well, which one's going to be our husband in heaven? And Jesus said to her and the disciples, there's not going to be a relationship between husband and wife in heaven. They'll be like the angels in heaven. Yeah, I remember that statement. But what does that have to do with what I'm talking about? He's talking about in heaven. I'm talking about on earth. You don't use that text to prove that a man and a woman can't have a sexual relationship on earth, do you? Just in heaven. So why say the angels can't have a sexual relationship on earth? So don't use that text. Well, look, God put them in prison. 200 million of them in prison for having sex with women. Where do you get that from? 2 Peter chapter 2. Go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, the abyss, the bottomless pit, the Tartarus, which is the Greek here, the Tartarus. And he delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eight person, a preacher of righteousness. In connection, he's taking these evil angels, putting them in the Tartarus, the lowest part of hell, the abyss, I believe, someplace in outer space. And I'll show that to you in just a moment. You say, what are you talking about? I thought angels were out. They're not bounded. Well, there are evil angels out. And I've talked about that. Evil angels are attacking all the time. We better be aware of that. Remember in the times of Jesus Christ, what was most of his ministry? Casting out demons. Much of his ministry. You know what a demon is? An evil angel who takes up habitation in a human body. That's a demon. And so he was dealing with that. Those are evil angels. But these are a group of 200 million evil angels that were put aside waiting for that day of judgment to come. Go to the book of Jude, the book just before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude, look at verse 6 with me. And the angels, which kept not their first estate that was around the throne of God, likely in the Garden of Eden, but left their own habitation, that would have been the heavenlies, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day. Notice verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner. In like manner to what? Well, how they acted in Sodom and Gomorrah is exactly what the evil angels did. In like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh and setting forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Okay, if this didn't happen in Genesis 6, tell me when evil angels had fornication as a part of their activities. Fornication. We call fornication today when a couple, man and a woman who are not married, have a sexual relationship. We call adultery when married people, maybe not with their same mate, their mate, but they with another person's mate have a sexual relationship. God calls it fornication, and fornication is any sexual activity that God forbids. Now, when did angels do that? In Genesis chapter 6, and God said, that's it! I'm going to wipe out 1 billion of you. Everybody except 8 souls are going to be left on the earth. Everybody else will be wiped out. So the reason for the flood, evil angelic activity, Satan's malicious contamination. Go back to chapter 6. Let me show you something else. I want to show you one more thing. God's merciful compassion. Chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Let me show you God's merciful compassion. Starting in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. There's an interesting thought. Perfect in his generations. Does that mean Noah was without sin? Uh-uh. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean Noah was without sin. That means Noah had no evil angelic contamination in his bloodline. Well, how do you know that? I read chapter 5. What is chapter 5? It's a genealogy. Who's it a genealogy of? From Adam to Noah. And there are no gaps in there. And never is there mentioned an evil angel who had a sexual relationship with one of the ancestors or one of the family before Noah. Perfect. No angelic evil bloodline. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his ways. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And because of that, God is going to protect him, going to protect Noah, his three sons, their four wives, eight people. He's going to take them from one side of the flood to the other side of the flood and start it all over again. Braining humankind in chapter 9 and verse 1, he says to Noah, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish or repeople the earth. And he's going to start it on the other side of the flood. God's merciful compassion. That's the reason for the flood. That's the reason. Let's look at the details of the flood. I'm not going to be able to do this very good justice. Please excuse me, but you spend some time studying this as well. Let me show you the warning for the flood. Look here in verse 3, chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also, but he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years. In other words, God comes to Noah and said, Noah, got a little assignment for you. I'm going to give you 120 years to do this. Now, you got to get doing it. First of all, I want you to warn the people about what's going to happen. And secondly, I want you to build an ark. Noah said, an ark? What's an ark? He said, oh, it's a boat. A boat? What's a boat? He said, you floated on the water, and there's going to be a flood. A flood? What's a flood? He said, well, it's going to rain a lot. Rain? What's rain? Because until that point, there'd never been rain. Go to chapter 2, verse 6. Let me show you. Chapter 2 and verse 6. This is so good. Well, start in verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. No rain! And God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And while you're building the ark, the people of the world are going to come say, what are you doing, Noah? And you're going to say, I'm building an ark. And they'll say, what's an ark? It's a boat. What's a boat? Well, it floats on the water. There's going to be a flood coming. A flood? What's a flood? Well, it rains a lot. A rain? What is rain? Same dumb questions. Noah had 120 years to warn the people. I don't know how good of a preacher you might think he was. He only had 7 results. 7 people is all that believed him out of 1 billion. Noah had 7 results out of 1 billion people over 120 years of ministry. But he warned the people, it's coming. Judgment is coming.
In Noah's day, the coming judgment was the worldwide flood. That judgment did happen some 4,500 years ago, as recorded in God's Word. The next judgment is the 7-year tribulation period. However, before that judgment comes, we who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air at the rapture of the church, an event that could happen at any moment, even today. Please make sure that you're ready for the rapture. Next week on the broadcast, we'll see that people will deny the coming of Jesus Christ because they deny a coming judgment. Be sure to join us for that very important study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of our study today.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...